Blake Sutton from Whole Hog Sports. I'm here with Scotty Bordelon. We are inside Bud Walton Arena and bringing you the inaugural episode of the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. And what better place to have our first episode than in the Basketball Palace of Mid-America. Scotty, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, dude. The hour and a half drive up here, hopefully it'll be worth it.
I think so, man. I think we're
going to... First time I podcasted in a long time. You know, I did one for when I was doing the high school beat. I'm covering Springdale and Springdale Harbor, and I talked to couple of coaches. They went to Harbor and talked to Scott Ball. I actually went to his house, and his house was like flooded, and we had to go to like one of his back rooms and do the episode. And I went to Pea Ridge, talked to Trent Lloyd, he's one of the best dressed dudes in the state as far as high school coaches go. So it's been a while since I've done this. Hopefully we'll make it worth people's listen.
Hey, time. Welcome back to the world of podcasting.
Have you ever done one before?
This long form, no. I mean, I've just done, you know, the kind of game recaps that you and
I
have
after
done
the games and stuff. Yeah, those are always fun. I didn't necessarily look forward to writing a whole lot about last year's team, especially like in conference season when they were losing to LSU at home and just looking pretty lifeless. But I always looked forward to doing those videos with you. I feel like we could cut up a little bit.
Yeah. We have a pretty, you know, unique perspective as well. With this, more so than the game recaps we did last year, with this podcast, we're going to get a little more in-depth, and we're actually going to answer your questions, and that's going to be a pretty big part of it, you know, answering questions that the readers and the listeners want to hear about. So
yeah, yesterday I put a post on our Basketball Insider board just asking for some questions, and we got some pretty good ones from several people. So we're going to try to get after those a little bit.
Well, we'll get to that in a minute. First off, Mike Anderson talked at SEC Media Day yesterday in Birmingham. Our own Bob Holt was there to cover it. And actually got the first question for Mike. Mike was...
I know he had to be shocked to see Bob sitting there.
It was pretty funny. Mike said something like, I came all the way to Birmingham and Bob still gets the first question.
But that's automatic. So
it was fitting. But one of the things I liked, obviously we have a lot of new faces on the team this year. The Razorbacks lost 8 players from last year's team, ton of new faces. And Mike said it's one of probably his youngest team that he's ever had in his career. And he said he has a lot of piglets on the team right now. But if you feed those guys and you get them to work, they can eventually turn into hogs, and then maybe a few of those guys will become actual Razorbacks. And as we all know, a Razorback will bite you. Is what Mike said
yesterday. He's been working on that line probably his whole way.
Right.
On the whole plane ride over to Birmingham.
But it's true. They do have a lot of piglets on the team this year. But a lot of the press conference yesterday was devoted to Daniel Gafford. He's obviously Arkansas's best player, first team all SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I mean, it was about a 16-minute press conference. Probably close to half of it was about Daniel Gafford.
Oh, for sure. For sure. That's the name that everybody knows. And it wasn't really a surprise to me that he was first team all SEC. I think he's him and PJ Washington at Kentucky, or and maybe Admiral Schofield at Tennessee, are probably the headliners as far as like forwards go in the SEC this year. I wasn't shocked at all to see Daniel there. And I'm pretty sure he had to have been a unanimous selection for that. But he did talk about, I mean, pretty much every question that he got asked yesterday in the opening few minutes were about Daniel and just his growth. And I think we've seen, at least since August, late August, when he got back from the Nike Skills Camp, I think he's kind of taken it upon himself to be more vocal and more talkative. Last year, I think he didn't have to do that much because they had so many seniors and so many voices elsewhere. But he's a sophomore, man, and he's kind of looked at as the veteran on this team. I think this might be the first team Mike's had that doesn't have a single senior on it. And Jonathan Holmes is one of the older guys on the team too. Adriel Bailey's another guy. I think we're gonna get this. I think we're gonna see a little bit more of Adriel's personality and a little bit get a better sense of what Adriel's like this year's. Being an older guy, I think he's going to – obviously Mike's sending him and Daniel to Birmingham. And when we talked to him on Media Day, those were the two guys that they kind of showcased as voices on this team. So
right.
Yeah, he's going to need some of those little picklets to kind of pick it up. And they've got some talented guys like Isaiah Joe. I covered him in high school at Fort Smith Northside his sophomore year. I went over and watched him practice. I think it was before his sophomore season began. And I could just tell that he was going to be really special. His jump shot it's as fluid as a jump shot as I've seen in a long time, and he's added a lot to his game since then. I think he's gotten taller too, so I think he's standing at 6'4", 6'5". Might need to bulk up a little bit.
What's his weight at right now?
I mean, I think he's one of like two or three guys on the roster that are like $165.
Yeah, it says the U of A website says 167. So
yeah, 167. So
spending guy.
Yeah, I think he's really in his junior and senior year in high school, especially his senior year after they lost their starting point guard at Northside, he kind of had to take on a more of a ball handling role. And so that his handle is a lot tighter than it was his sophomore and junior year. I'm pretty excited to watch him. His high school coach gave him inside half court range. And like within reason, feel free to shoot from inside half court. And he didn't take advantage of it. And I think especially as a young guy, you get like that vote of confidence from your coach. He didn't take advantage of it. And I think that kind of speaks to his maturity a little bit.
Yeah.
Defensively, he'll go up and contest at the rim too. He's a little bit bouncy too. So lots of young guys. I'm eager to watch them Friday night.
Yeah, and that kind of goes into one of these questions from poster Navy Hog from the Whole Hog Sports message board. His question was, is Isaiah Joe ready to provide starter minutes and at least 10 points per game? I think he is, and I think he's going to ask to do that. He's a four-star recruit.
Yeah.
He was averaging, about 24 points a game for Fort Smith Northside as a senior.
Yeah.
Then over the summer with the Hawks, he was averaging about, 16 points a game and shooting over 50% from three. And so I don't think it would be out of the realm of possibility to think that he'd be able to get 10 points a game. And I don't know about starter minutes, but
I think he may start.
You think so?
I think he may start. I think that's part of the reason. You know, we'll talk about the red white game pretty soon, but Mike has Isaiah Joe, Jalen Harris, Daniel Gafford on that red team. I think he's looking to see what he can get from those guys, see if he can build some camaraderie and some chemistry with them. I think Isaiah's, if I had to bet who would be in the starting lineup, Isaiah would probably be one of the guys that I would guess that Mike would put in there. He can really shoot it, like I said a few minutes ago. And
Mike said he had unlimited range.
Yeah,
was a quote from Mike.
Sure. He's one of the first guys out of Mike's mouth when he talks about the picklets or whatever. I guess we're going to nickname them that this year. I think he's the kind of player that you're going to look up like 6-7 minutes left in the first half, and he may have 9, 10, 11, 12 points, and he'll have taken maybe 5 or 6 shots.
Yeah.
I think he's got the chance to be one of Arkansas's most efficient players. His basketball IQ is so high. I don't think he's gonna force shots. I think he's gonna get his shots in the flow of the game and use his strengths to get those open shots. And you feed the ball inside out, guys are gonna suck in on Daniel.
Right.
Easy kick out to him, and that smooth shot, man. I think it's almost. I think Daniel called it a cash ball back in August. I think that's what it's going to be. Isaiah can really shoot. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up playing starter minutes like right away.
Yeah.
Especially like in that Texas game, maybe, which I'm going to, and I'm super excited about. I had to send in for a background check a couple of weeks ago, so hopefully they're not digging too deep into my history.
It's on a military base, right?
Yeah. It's in Fort Bliss in El Paso. I'm super excited about that.
That'll be cool.
I think Isaiah is going to be one of the team's most efficient players. Good shot selection, really high basketball IQ, and he kind of does it effortlessly too. Mm. So I don't think he's going to expend all of his energy on the offensive end and then, you know, see him get beat on the other end after a bucket, stuff like that. I don't see that happening with Isaiah.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Isaiah Joe's range, that kind of leads into the next question from Baked Hog 19741. Who are the outside threats this season? I think Isaiah Joe's – I know we've spent a lot of time talking about Isaiah Joe, mm-hmm. but I think he's the easy answer. He was,
for sure.
Like I said earlier, was shooting over 50% with the Hawks over the summer. It's just – it's incredible.
Yeah, for sure. And I think just going down the list of these names, I think Keyshawn Embry is a guy who, you know, we haven't seen a whole lot of his game. I mean, really the only thing we saw after on media day was three-man weave, layups, and dunks, and then they did the same thing with a medicine ball. Like, that didn't really tell us anything about any of those guys. But Keyshawn, I think, pretty prolific scorer at IMG in Florida. And Mason Jones, the guy, I think he's got he's got really solid size for a guy who I think could play the three and fill that spot pretty well. You know, he was a knockdown shooter at in junior college over in Oklahoma. I think you add Keyshawn, Mason, and Isaiah, I think you've got a pretty good core of perimeter guys.
Yeah.
The only question mark I have is Jalen Harris is going to have the ball in his hands a lot. We don't know really how well he shoots the ball from three. I know he likes to. He has the ball in his hands and he likes to create. And Mike, I think yesterday called him a pass-first point guard.
Right.
You're going to need him to score some too.
Absolutely.
And I think Jalen's jump shot is maybe a little bit of a question mark. But Keyshawn, you have to. I think I'd feel pretty comfortable with Keyshawn maybe at the two and Mason Jones at the three, and have Isaiah Joe in there somewhere too. I think I like those. I like that trio of guys. And I think they'll be able to play inside out or outside in and pretty well. And you know, Arkansas in past years, since they haven't had a whole lot of scoring at the four, and they haven't had one of those guys at the power forward spot that can kind of stretch the floor and space the floor a little bit and pull somebody away from the basket. I think that's kind of hurt them as far as like their three-point attempts go. And you know, Arkansas like led the league in three-point shooting last year, but it was based on like just percentage. It wasn't like they came down and they shot like 25 threes a game. It wasn't anything like that. So you wonder if there'll be a little bit more of a high volume three-point shooting team this year, just with Mason Jones and Keyshawn and Isaiah. So that'll be something that I'm going to watch for sure.
Well, speaking of Mason Jones, all this talk about the Piglets, he is one guy that's got a couple of years of experience. He had junior college transfer from Connor State over there in Oklahoma. He was shooting about 43% from three at Connor State, which is
solid,
not too shabby. I've got here that he had double-digit scoring games 28 times, nine games with 20 points and two games with 30 points. And so he can score the basketball, and a lot of that's from, you know, perimeter shooting.
Yeah, for sure. You wonder who's going to be the guy who, like maybe early season game, like the season opener against Texas, who's going to be the guy who's maybe not afraid of the moment. And I'm not saying that any of these guys really are, but who's going to be the guy to knock down those perimeter shots and kind of take the seal off the basket for the team early, early in games. And Mason might be one of those guys. I don't think he's going to be afraid to. I don't think he's going to be afraid to let it fly. So, Mason's a really intriguing guy to me.
All right, another question here from the readers over at WholeHogSports.com and the Basketball Insider Board. We just talked a little bit about Mason Jones. This is a question from Ken Keshi. Do you think Mason Jones is going to make an instant impact the way Jalen Barford and Darryl Macon did? Or is it more likely it will take a year before he gets going? I think with the youth on this team, I think he will be able to come in and make an immediate impact. I don't think it's going to take him a year to, you know, get up to speed.
Do you think it'll take him maybe through maybe half non-conference?
Maybe through the fall semester. But
I think we're talking about like Keyshawn and Mason and Isaiah, like maybe coming in and providing some perimeter scoring like immediately, but you gotta acclimate yourself to the speed of this game too.
Yeah.
And no offense to Tusculum, wherever the hell that is, or Southwest Baptist in Missouri, but I mean they find some success and can carry that into Texas. Like Texas is going to be a completely different ball game. Texas probably going to start the year in a ranked in the top 25.
Yeah.
I was talking to Reggie Chaney's dad last week. There's going to be a guy that plays for Texas who played on the same AAU team as Reggie. So I'm pretty excited to watch that matchup too. But yeah, like those guys, I mean, it's going to take some getting used to the college game, I think, is, I mean, these guys haven't played anybody else but themselves, and they kind of know each other's tendencies probably by now, and Texas is going to be a different ball game, man. But I think Mason's got a chance to be pretty special, maybe especially in non-conference, and it wouldn't surprise me if he was among maybe the top two or three leaders in scoring. In non-conference, just I like you said, he does have some seasoning to him, playing in junior college ball, and I like his frame too. I think he's about 6'5" and a little bit over 200 pounds, so he's got the size that you like on the guard as far as his height goes. I think he might be able to bully his way into some points too, and maybe take advantage of some smaller guys. But I really like Mason. I don't know if you want to say that he's going to have the same impact that Jalen and Daryl did, maybe right. Their first year.
Yeah.
But I think he's definitely going to put his imprint on this team, and I'm pretty excited to see what that looks like for sure.
Yeah, and I guess the way the question is worded, I don't think these two things are mutually exclusive. I don't think that he'll have the impact that Jalen Barford and Daryl Macon did, but I also don't think it's going to take him an entire year to get going.
Yeah, you know? I don't either.
Moving on, another question from Navy Hog. Who will emerge to play crunch time minutes at the power forward spot? Well, you got two really good power forwards coming in Reggie Chaney and Ethan Henderson. What do you think about those guys?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to say, I'm going to go with Reggie Chaney there. I mean, talking to his dad, you know, Reggie's dad, writing a story for Hogs Illustrated, the basketball preview issue, I think Reggie's dad played ball at Redlands Community College in El Reno, Oklahoma. His dad was kind of a naturally aggressive, defense-first kind of player, and I think Reggie's followed kind of in the same footsteps as his dad. I think Reggie's going to be the guy that you want on the floor late in the game, especially in crunch time. Naturally aggressive guy, player and defender. And if there's anything that I think that we've learned about Reggie to this point without seeing him play for a second in pickup game, is everybody's talked about how good of a rebounder he is. I think he's a plus rebounder. Rebounding is so big and so crucial in those in those final few minutes. And I think that's definitely somebody I'd want on the floor. I don't think he's going to shy away from the physicality and the contact. And you know, Mike wants somebody that will go get the ball off a miss at all costs.
Yeah.
And I think Reggie may take some adjusting, obviously being a freshman. But I think his natural aggressive tendency to want to attack the boards and crush the glass, I think that's somebody you're going to want on the floor, maybe more so than an Ethan Henderson, who's maybe a little bit – he's much more frail than Reggie is. Not to say that Ethan couldn't be –
He described himself as frail.
Yeah,
so you're,
yeah,
you know,
for sure.
We're not dogging him or anything.
Not to say that Ethan couldn't develop into somebody or couldn't develop into like a defensive substitution late into a game. I mean, imagine if you put late in the game, you needed to stop and maybe you're going zone. You got Daniel out there, Ethan Henderson, and three guards with some length too. That would be pretty tough, but I think you want some rebounding and maybe a guy who's not as easy to box out and get out of the way and grab a board.
Yeah, and you know, Reggie Chaney, he doesn't look like a true freshman. He's got a big frame. He's got a big upper body, real strong. He looks mature. He doesn't look like an 18-year-old kid. So I agree. I think if it's crunch time, like you said, rebounding is so crucial at the end of the game. And Arkansas hasn't been a very good rebounding team under Mike. Mm-hmm. Pretty much as Mike's entire career here, they haven't really prided themselves on rebounding. So if you have a guy like that can scrap and hold his own down there to get some tough rebounds, that'd be a welcome addition to the team.
You know, I think there's a lot has been made of Arkansas not really getting much scoring from the power forward position, and I wrote about that several times last year. According to those KenPom numbers that I can look at, Arkansas was like 300 plus three, like ranked 300th plus in the nation in scoring from the four.
Wow.
The last few years. But I think he's going to be able to provide that. I think he's going to be able to provide scoring for you there. But I think the biggest thing is just the rebounding. Yeah. Like you got to have somebody. You got to have somebody outside of Daniel in there wiping the glass clean. I think Reggie's going to be able to provide that.
So tomorrow night, right here in Bud Walton Arena, Arkansas will have its red-white game. Let's talk a little bit about that. What did you think of the lineups for each team?
You know, I was waiting to go into football player media availability on Tuesday when I got the email. But Mike announcing the teams, and immediately the first thing that jumped out was the red team is just going to run white team out of the gym.
You think so?
But that was just on first glance. But you look at it, like, they've separated Isaiah, Joe, and Desi Sills. I kind of like that. And I think one thing I like about the white team is that I think Mike has kind of charged Desi and Adrio maybe with leading that team a little bit. Desi is like the prototypical guy that Mike likes a lot, who yeah. I think is going to do pretty much everything it takes to win. And even, I mean, it's just a red-white game, but I think Desi's going to take this pretty seriously. Like, he's going to try to lock up whoever it is that he's guarding, and he's going to have a chance to guard a couple of really good guys, Isaiah and Jalen Harris. So I'm kind of eager to watch that a little bit. We also get Daniel on the red team, Reggie Chaney on the white team.
Yeah.
So maybe you're going to get to see a pretty fun matchup there. Kind of excited to see how those matchups go down.
Red team has the secret weapon though, Gabe Osaboyan, who we haven't talked about.
I know.
Yeah, but
I've
he is one
notes
of
notes on him over here.
He's one of Arkansas's few returning players. I don't think he's as talented as you know, guys like Reggie Chaney or Ethan Henderson, but he'll get some mop up minutes and stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of hot and cold on Gabe. You know, last year he came in and he played pretty well in a couple of games here against Vanderbilt in South Carolina. Those two teams ended up finishing close to the bottom of the conference, so I think it was like the prime time to get him some playing experience, and he actually factored in to a couple of those games. And I think he's going to be more productive than Orlando Cook was last year.
Yeah.
And I think if you can do that, you can be a serviceable piece off the bench. I was looking everywhere in the world for like a shot chart of some guys from last year. I just wanted to see where Gabe was taking most of his shots last year. And I found this website called The Stepien. I think that's how I pronounce it. I'm not sure. But Gabe was 3 out of 20 on mid-range, long mid-range shots, and 6 of 17 on short mid-range shots. He's got to be better than that.
Yeah.
He's got to be better than that if he wants to stay on the floor this year. Because, I mean, you could ideally, like, if Gabe's not producing for you, you could go 3 guards and then Reggie, Chaney, and Daniel, or maybe alternate one of those two guys out. Maybe Reggie and Adrio or Daniel and Adrio. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Like, if he doesn't improve on that jump shot, then I know Mike played him a little bit last year because he liked his grit, rebounding, and some of his toughness. But man, when he's out there, he's got to be more than just a guy who's going to rebound. I think, like, you got to make guys respect your jump shot. From all that we've seen, like, from all the videos on like Instagram that I've seen, I mean, he's in the gym working on his jump shot a lot.
Yeah.
Like 16, 18 feet. I don't know if you want to extend it out to the 3-point line. I think you might want to save those shots for your guards. But I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be better on those long mid-range and short mid-range shots. And that's one thing that, you know, a lot of people were pushing for him to play a little bit more last year, just to see if he could continue to grow. But he's got to make those shots if he wants to stay on the floor this year, because you do have a little bit more help at the four.
He did have a crazy stat last year. He didn't play a whole lot of minutes, but he actually tied the team lead for taking charges. He took 8 charges.
Yeah.
Last year.
I think his thing was defense and rebounding last year. I mean, I expect that same defense first mindset to be there with him. If he can add a semi-consistent jump shot and at least make teams respect him a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't see any reason why he couldn't take up some more minutes in the lineup.
And, you know, looking at this lineup, it's a young team, but it's an incredibly talented team. You have not only do you have, you know, Daniel Gafford and Adriel Bailey coming back, you have a lot of four-star recruits coming in. Yeah, they're freshmen, but they're really good. And I think Mike has a lot of, you know, pieces that he can kind of play around with.
Yeah, for sure. You know, he said yesterday or on Wednesday in his press conference at SEC Media Days that being young is not going to be an excuse.
Yeah.
Like, these guys are talented. And back in August when Daniel got back from Los Angeles, somebody asked him, he said, what have you seen from the guys in during summer workouts and summer pickup games and stuff? And he said that they've got some dogs. And I really think they do. Like, Desi Seals is going to be your defensive dog. I think he's going to be like one of those 3-and-D guys as a point guard type. Like, I think he'll be able to knock down a 3-point shot whenever you need to. And that dude's he's a winner. Like, coming from Jonesboro, like, all he knew was playing in state championship games.
Yeah.
You know, I think I watched one time Jonesboro beat Daniel Gafford's El Dorado team. So
wow.
Those two guys are pretty familiar with each other. And Desi knows how to win. And, you know, Ethan Henderson, I think he's going to be a project a little bit. I think his offensive game right now is probably capped at maybe just around the rim.
Yeah.
Type work, but
you see him more of as a defensive guy to start off.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think he's him and Ibi Ali, who we haven't really talked about either. I think those are going to be the two main subs for guys like Reggie and Daniel. So those guys are going to be counted on for defense quite a bit. And, yeah. And I'm super excited to, you know, we didn't really talk to Keyshawn Embry at Media Day. I'm really excited about him. I know what kind of a scoring threat that he was in high school.
Yeah.
Seems like a super, super confident kid. So I'm really eager to see him in tomorrow night and just kind of get a better feel for his game, as we really honestly don't know a whole lot about him right now.
Yeah. Well, we will know a lot more about this team tomorrow night, I think. We'll have complete coverage tomorrow. We'll have highlights. We'll have updates. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage of Arkansas's red-white game here at Bud Walton Arena tomorrow night, starting at 7 o'clock. Oh, and I saw that they're at 7, they're going to have a dunk competition.
Yeah.
For the first few minutes.
I wonder if Johnny Holmes going to get in that thing. No, he can throw it down a little bit.
If they have a mini tramp that they can put out there that he can jump onto, I don't know why they wouldn't.
Oh, if he could have a trampoline to go with the two. Yeah.
Have some fun with it, you know. Put some pads around the goal. Put a trampoline out there for the guys. I mean, you know, what's the worst that could happen? Well, for Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton from Whole Hog Sports. This is the inaugural episode of the basketball podcast of Mid-America. We're going to be doing this every week during basketball season, and hopefully we'll be doing it late into March. But we'll see.
We'll see whether it's the NCAA tournament or the NIT. Or just back at home. We might just be here in mid-March. Who knows?
Yeah. But yeah, there's like Mike Anderson said yesterday, there's a lot more questions than answers about this team. But season effectively starts tomorrow, so we're about to get some of those answers. But for Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton. We're from Whole Hog Sports. Thanks for listening.